Good morning. Thank you for being here on this really quite lovely spring day to come to our one-day sesshin, Zazenkai. Whether you're here for the entire day, part of the day, or just for the Teisho, it's good to see everybody here. In listening to a Teisho, it's important not to try to figure it out. The teacher's challenge, the one that we face every time we take the seat on this tan, is to try to express the inexpressible, to speak of that which cannot be spoken of. If you find it a bit confusing, don't worry. Don't try to follow the words. Don't try to interpret or understand in the usual way. Just allow them to flow through you, like the river flows along its channel. If you need to change your posture during the Teisho, that's fine. But however you sit, keep the back straight and the head up. This morning we will take a look at a koan. As most of you know, koans are these rather paradoxical, sometimes strange accounts of interactions mostly between masters of the Tang Dynasty and their disciples or students, but sometimes others. They are not to be tried to, not to try to figure those out either. The masters are expressing their experience in that very moment. And it is the job of the student to experience that for themselves and then to express that experience not just in the Doksan room but in their lives. This morning we will look at a case in True Dharma Eye, Master Dogen's 300 Koans. It's from a translation by Kazuaki Tanahashi and John Dido Laurie. This particular collection is not part of the regular koan curriculum we work with in this center in our Sanbo Kyodan lineage. But Dogen is such a towering figure in our history, it behooves us to spend some time and effort to see into his teaching. Case number 30, Cao Shan's No Change. Cao Shan bid farewell to his teacher, Dongshan Lianjie. Dongshan said, "Where are you going?" Cao Shan said, "I am going to a place of no changing." Dongshan said, "Can you leave from that place of no changing?" Cao Shan said, "Leaving is not changing." Dongshan Liangjie, whose dates are 807 to 869 of the Common Era, and Cao Shan Benji, who lived from 840 to 901, master and disciple, are credited with founding the Cao Dong school of Chan, which we know as the Soto school of Zen. And also Dongshan is famous for his verses on the five ranks of practice and realization, or stages or modes, depending on how you feel about ranks. Very little is known about Cao Shan or about the extent of his contribution to the Soto school. Some say that his role was mainly that of a popularizer of Cao Dong Chan. Daoshan bid farewell to his teacher. Eventually, that has to happen. There comes a time when to stay with a teacher becomes an attachment as unhelpful as any other attachment. It is to stagnate. Sometimes this parting of the ways is initiated by the student, sometimes by the teacher. Sometimes it only happens with the death of the master. But ultimately, we are all on our own. And there comes a time to embrace that aloneness, to live completely free, even of the teachings. The raft which carried us to the other shore is left behind. Let me warn you, however, against leaving prematurely. This happens only after years, decades of hard practice and training. To go off half-cocked is more dangerous to you and to others than if you had never come here in the first place. You must be thoroughgoing in your practice. You must chew your food well. If that point is reached, there is no doubt, no argument. There is a deep realization of the fact of transmission. The farewells, the ceremonies, are an acknowledgement of the truth of what has already happened. A case in Robert Aitken's Zen Master Raven tells about Raven, who was a student of Brown Bear Roshi. Raven came to Brown Bear's cave and walked right into his lair. "Time for me to be moving on," he announced. Brown Bear asked, "What will you say about your study here?" Raven said, "Brown Bear is quite thoroughgoing." Brown Bear said, "Try camping out for a while." There always seems to be a last question, a last lesson in these partings. Just over 2.5 years ago, at the Ascending of the Mountain ceremony that was held in this Zendo, Dainin Henry Roshi asked each of his designated heirs a question. We all answered as best we could. Dongshan asks, "Where are you going?" Brown Bear asks, "What will you say?" Many of the great masters, after they finished their formal training, went off and lived in seclusion for a time to allow their practice to mature fully. Others traveled, meeting and engaging in Dharma exchange with masters, monks, and laypersons in order to refine their understanding. What will Daoshan do when he leaves his teacher? Dongshan said, "Where are you going?" Daoshan said, "I am going to a place of no changing." When you leave this temple this afternoon, where will you go? What will you say? What will you do? How will you function in the world of time, space, and karma? This is a much tougher question in our lay practice than it would be if we were all monastics. I think most of us here know that full well. We don't have the luxury of a sheltered environment in which there's nothing to do but deepen our zazen. So what will you do and say in a world of coming, going, screaming children, flat tires, jobs, mortgage, the full catastrophe? Will you have plans? Do you intend something? Provincial Governor Liu Xuan was a longtime patron and student of Nanchuan. When Governor Liu was about to return to his office in Xuanzheng, he came to bid the master goodbye. The latter asked him, "Governor, you are going back to the capital. How will you govern the people?" Another quiz. The governor replied, "I will govern them through wisdom." The master remarked, "If this is true, the people will suffer for it." Intentions are dangerous. There is a trap one falls into, especially after a sesshin, maybe not so much as a zenkai, in which one makes all sorts of resolutions about reforming one's life. "I'm going to quit smoking. I'm going to quit drinking. I'm going to get rid of the television. I'm going to sit 4 hours a day," and on and on. That's going at it backwards, getting hung up on results. Results are not our concern. We do not practice to improve our lives or to reform ourselves. There's a semi-famous story that Dainin Henry Roshi told about himself in an exchange he had with Robert Aiken Roshi. Dainin was on pilgrimage shortly after his installation as abbot of the Zen Center. He was telling Aiken all about his plans for the center. He went on and on about the school of Zen arts, every minute Zen, and so on. Finally, Aiken interrupted, "Dainin, the future is where we die." Now, I don't think that Aiken was just stating the obvious fact that we will all die eventually and that we have no idea when. The point is that Dainin was so caught up in his plans for the future, which has no reality, that he was abandoning his practice of the here and now. When any of us do that, when we get obsessed with future plans, we are, in a sense, dying to our own reality, to our own nature. Self-reform, attempts to manipulate reality to suit an image of the separate self, ends up just reinforcing the separate self, the ego self. That's not our practice. Our practice is to see clearly the self in the largest sense, as it is, our Buddha nature, which needs no reform. But we can't do that while we are still blinded by delusion of a separate self, what Alan Watts called the skin-encapsulated ego. Zhao Shan said, "I'm going to a place of no changing." Going to a place of no changing. Is this just another intention, another plan, and an impossible one at that? After all, change is a fundamental teaching of the Buddha. How can we reconcile what seems to be our experience of change with Zhao Shan's place of no changing? How will you deal with that today in Zazenkai and in your life? Where could this place of no changing possibly be? Is it only here in our Zazen that mind and body drop away? Is it only when there is no eye, ear, nose, tongue, body, mind, no color, sound, smell, taste, touch, or what the mind takes hold of? If we only realize this no changing in the deepest states of samadhi, of what use is it? Where is it in our chaotic, noisy, busy lives? Or can we find it only when we come to the center? Realization, enlightenment, whatever you call it, cannot depend on a particular mind state, a particular circumstance. Bernie Glassman uses the analogy of seeing. We see the carpet, the wall, the light, everything different, everything changing. But seeing itself, the seeing, is always the same, unchanging. Likewise, all that of which we are aware in all our senses, what we see, hear, smell, touch, or taste, or even what we think, is constantly changing. But the awareness is the same, unchanging. Sri Ramana Maharshi was asked what enlightenment was, and one of his answers was awareness. Lex Hickson called it awakeness. Krishnamurti refers to causeless awareness. In this total awakeness, there is no change. Never has been, never will be. Thus, in leaving, coming, going, crying, laughing, fixing a flat tire, awareness does not move. Sung San, in Affirming Faith and Mind, says, "For as it is, whole and complete, this sense world is enlightenment." We start out stuck in the ego-individual awareness of the self perceiving things that are out there but always refer back to the ego-self. I see this. I hear that. And therefore, I am such and such, always changing. The more we give up that separate self, the more we see the awareness of everything as everything. The tree is simply the awareness of the tree. The sky is awareness of the sky. Your hands right now are awareness of hands. Your knees are awareness of your knees. The pain in your leg is awareness of pain in your leg. No individual self involved. Even the psychophysical self is the same. It is the awareness of the self. And that's all. I am going to a place of no changing. Taoshan is going into complete awareness, total awakeness. Actually, the only reason that he can say that is he's already there. We are the same. Each of us is total awareness, total awakeness, if we but see it clearly. Sung San also says, "All changes in this empty world seem real because of ignorance." And again, "Things are things because of mind, as mind is mind because of things." Yes, when we attach to things, we create mind, and mind creates everything. The Buddha said, "We are what we think. With our thoughts, we create the world." Of course we do. And there's nothing wrong with that, creating the world of time, space, and karma. It's where we function. It's where we practice, where we attain enlightenment. It is the attached, clinging thoughts that get us into trouble. Dogen said, "When the self advances and confirms the 10,000 things, that is all phenomena, that is ignorance. When the 10,000 things advance and confirm the self, that is enlightenment." I would amend the second part. When the awareness of the 10,000 things advance and confirm the no-self, that is enlightenment. And Dongshan challenges his student, "Can you leave from a place of no changing? Can you leave the place of no changing? Can anyone? Can you leave the place of no eye, ear, nose, tongue, body, or mind and come forth? But if there is nothing and no one, who is there to come forth? And if there is no one to come forth, was there ever anyone there in the first place? Can all our coming and going, being and not being, bring about a change in this Buddha awareness? How do we come forth? We don't. It isn't necessary. It isn't even possible. We speak of coming forth as skillful means. To paraphrase the Diamond Sutra, coming forth is not coming forth, thus it is called coming forth. If we see clearly that time and space do not exist outside of our thoughts, then there is no time. There is no changing. If there is no time, there is no not changing. Time is about past and future. If we focus on the practice of this present moment, time will not suddenly disappear. We still sit here. We still do zazen. But time, past and future, become irrelevant because we see the true nature of time and space, which is empty. Then the deepest samadhi and the most furious activity are one and the same. It takes only a slight shift in perspective to see that all we hear, see, taste, touch, and so on, are only phenomena that refer to nothing but themselves. If we do not attach, then all changes in this empty world are seen as empty. Where will you go? How will you respond to Dongshan without falling into the trap of past and future on one hand and nihilistic denial on the other? Do not imitate Cao Shan. That is the fox's trick. We work to quiet the mind where there is no mind to quiet. We work to realize the truth when there is no truth to realize and no one to realize it. How many times do we wonder if we are making progress, getting somewhere? Pat Hawk used to say, we kick out people who make progress. I think he was being facetious, but with Pat, you never knew. If we get caught up in change versus no change, leaving versus not leaving, we continue to bounce back and forth between form and emptiness. Both are concepts, both are traps. How do we get beyond? We don't have to. We are already there. So there it is. When I say, or anyone says, just sit and make nothing, just do zazen, that is the only instruction that you really need. Do not concern yourself with the rest of the day or with the rest of your life or with the next breath. To go to that place of no changing is nothing other than to practice now the Dharma, together with all beings, we realize the way.